Don't lose the blessings from being a Christian, from living like a Christian. Don't lose the blessings from serving the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the Bema seat, not the great white throne. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Everybody will be blessed in heaven. Some will have a bigger basket.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through a special series called Truth, Love, and Testimony. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue his message called Concerning Deceivers as he teaches through the book of 2 John.
John has this attitude. John can't stand these guys. That's why he said, don't even shake their hands. And in those days, it wasn't a handshake. It was a kiss on the cheek. He said, don't do that. I would not shake Ralph Northam's hand. It's just not going to happen. I've preached the gospel to him. If he repents, I'll give him a hug. Otherwise, I am not going to shake the hand of a serial killer who can stand up and say, you can't assemble and worship God, but you can come murder an unborn child. Is this not disgusting? I'm not self-righteous with this. This is 2 plus 2. This is basic. Well, we need to tell it in the workplace. We need to tell it in the family. We need to say to them, anathema to you. You're wrong. This isn't Christian hatred. This is, we love truth and we hate a lie and we hate people damning souls, and they don't have to believe it or agree with us for us to stand our ground. They also denied the second coming on the same grounds. God would never. He'd never come the first time, so he couldn't come the second time. Never mind what Jesus preached. Never mind what those who lived with Jesus preached. Never mind what Paul, who was persecuting Christians, then met Christ, converted to Christianity, and began to preach the same thing. Signs and wonders following. They made up this deep knowledge as they do today. Darwin, the study of the life of Darwin. You say, who would ever listen to this guy? He's a loser. As men go, Ingersoll, who was so intelligent, he had the blueprint he needed to push his brand of Gnosticism, of secret knowledge. And many churches got right onto it. And to this day, there are those churches out there who do not believe in the creation of the universe according to the book of Genesis, the Word of God. Look, you can say, we call it the book of Genesis to help us find where we need to be, but it's all God's word. 2 John is no less God's word than the 23rd Psalm. It is just as powerful and mighty. It is authored by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to us. And no naysayer is going to take that away from us. And so here's Paul saying, of course, as I just read from Philippians, that he humbled himself. This is how God did it. See? We believe Philippians, not you. That's the message. And as I mentioned, rather than organizing assemblies, they just infiltrated the existing assemblies. I mean, they had their lecture halls, and they wrote their papers, but they really had, there was no church of the Gnostics. There were just Christian churches who were teaching Gnosticism after a while, if they became apostate churches, and it was circulated in the neighborhoods, in the workplaces, in the government. People just thought this was the greatest thing. It was better than dripless ice cream, according to many of these people. So there were adherents both in the church and outside the church. There were people that despised Christianity, and they held on to Gnosticism, and then there were those who tried to merge the two. And John, of course, he knew about this junk. And he knew that they wielded great influence. They were pulling it off. And when we get to 3 John, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He was talking about the Gnostics were telling lies, and John was saying, it's such a relief that you're not falling for this junk, because there are others that are falling for it. He says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. It's a devil. That's what he is saying. That's what the devil is, a deceiver. And what we believe matters. An antichrist is an anti-God. According to the scripture, and the soul that is against Christ is doomed in that present state. Paul, when he writes, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul said, you know, I don't have to know what brand of heresy they're going to throw our way. It's coming, and it will be identifiable. You just hold it up next to the scripture, and you'll have your evidence. You'll say, well, didn't the Gnostic Christians do that? No, they did not. Instead of looking at the scripture says this, they said, well, let's see how we can weave the two together. We still see this today. People writing books and throwing a little scripture, garnish it with some scripture, so that's the authority. And you're supposed to say, well, he's right because he put a scripture verse there. But what is the original thought of that scripture verse? That kind of deception, manipulation has got to be identified. If you're not satisfied with the biblical record, you're susceptible to this stuff. It's going to just latch right onto you because you're always looking for your ears to be tickled with some sensation. You don't understand that much of life is a forced march. It's hard. And you got to just keep going. And it's not always this little, you know, happy little party. And if you're looking for that from authors, you're going to line yourself up to be tricked because they're going to tell you happy things, line their pockets with your money for buying their books, and then 2 years later, you can't even remember the title of their book. It was so good. 5 steps to be the perfect Christian. When Jesus said, be perfect as your Father is, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's saying, throw into this everything you've got. You're not going to be perfect. But without this effort, it won't work well. You want to be a Christian, throw into it everything you have. And that is not easy. He didn't say it was going to be easy. There's something very beautiful that the Bible teaches us about ourselves and God. That no matter how we struggle, no matter how many times we fall flat on our face, he is there. He is not looking to abandon us. He's not just waiting for that final mess up so he can just be done with us. You think like that, then you know you're listening to the voice of the devil and you need to eject. Get out of that ship. Save yourself that way. And the mark of heresy is to claim Christ's salvation while at the same time disagreeing with him. That's heresy. You can't say I'm saved in Christ, but he's wrong. He's Lord of all or not at all. He is who he says he is, and you are who he says he is, or you're bringing in a false teaching that will damn your soul and others too. They acknowledged Christ. They just disagreed with him. They disagreed with his apostle. To them, it was nothing that these men lived with him for 3.5 years. What was more important that they were educated. They had their charts and their models and their graphs. You didn't catch that one. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. That word, look to yourselves, it's a single word in the Greek, the original language that John wrote in. Blepo is the Greek word. I don't have to say that, but I just wanted to. It means to watch out, beware, pay attention. It's a minefield. You cannot sashay through a minefield and expect to make it, not in all your parts. They may be gifted and charming. They may say some true things, some helpful things. Then they break the deal. You know, you could go to buy a car and you say all these things about it, but then there's a deal breaker. I mean, what if you were going to buy a car and they say, you know, we'll give you this excellent deal, gets everything you have in it, but we're going to cut off your right hand. That's a deal breaker to me. They're damning souls. to this day. It still goes on. It's always a subtle error at first, but beneath that subtle error is a serious one. And usually it's regarding the person of Christ. When Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" He meant business. Is this what it's all about? Because if you deny me, if you tell me I'm not who I am, you have a problem, not me. And here, when they come along to this day, they have a problem with the person of Christ, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. They have a problem with the Holy Spirit. They either inflate him to the point where Christ is no longer in the picture, or they just mess him up some other way in their thinking. Or the trustworthiness of Scripture. It is fallible. It's got these problems. You can't trust what it's saying. It's not self-correcting. That's how they do business. And if you are, "Well, I'm so analytical," to a fault, you'll be damned in your analysis too. Just stick to the Scriptures. It's so simple. It is our personal responsibility to not be deceived. That's why I read Scripture verses when I make a point. I often give you one or two verses to give you two witnesses. Colossians 2, verse 18, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which has not been seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Paul is saying, don't let them cheat you of what God wants to give you with all this nonsense they're bringing your way. And again, Colossae was where the Gnostics were starting to take root early on. The Judaism was still the dominant threat, but there were pockets of Gnosticism growing with the Gentiles. So you go to the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost, and there's this glorious time and the tongues of fire on the apostles and the wind and all this stuff is happening. Trouble's coming. The church was magnified, the church was multiplied, and Satan formed a plan to come against it all. That's just sobriety of being sober-minded Christians. Fools trade Christianity for insanity very quickly. They look for that thrill. They're more interested in singing songs than ever learning what Jesus wants them to learn. Nothing wrong with songs, but you can do it to a fault. That can become what's important to you while not being what's important to God. Otherwise, God would have just left us with a hymnal. You can get off-centered. You begin majoring in the minors. Isaiah, he puts it this way, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And the Gnostics were boasting, "We've got the light. You want to get saved, you're going to have this knowledge." It's not the cross of Christ that saves. It is the knowledge of spiritual things, that God is so pure and holy, he would never put his hands on anything material because everything material is defiled. That kind of dualistic yin-yang stuff, get out of my face. Sounds good if you have no relationship with the Lord. But if you know the Lord, if he's your Savior and your Lord God before he's your friend, now you have power to handle deceivers messing with my Lord like that. You should tell the... Okay, I'm sorry. It's not that I'm getting in the flesh. It's a righteous indignation, of course. But what? He says here. Well, not but what. But that we may receive a full reward. He says, avoid the penalties. Don't lose the blessings from being a Christian, from living like a Christian. Don't lose the blessings from serving the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the Bema seat, not the great white throne. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Everybody will be blessed in heaven. Some will have a bigger basket. I mean, I look at the life of Paul and I say, you know, I'm going to be stealing stuff from his basket. He won't notice it missing, it's so big. So may I say very gently to any Christian who you read this and you're very afraid because you fall on your face so many times. You may say to yourself, I have such a low-grade Christianity. How could I ever gain a reward with Christ? Take heart. Keep moving forward. God will just, he loves you. He loves you because he is love. And he's not looking to work against you. He sees your weakness. He understands it. Why he has left you as weak as you are, that's his business. But this is our business. Where sin abounded, grace did much more. The love of God overcomes. If love overcomes a multitude of sins amongst people, what does the love of God do to my multiple failings as a Christian? See, Satan has now, you've just pulled his teeth. He can't bite you now. How can he bite you if you say, I am secure in my faith. I am secure because of my Lord. He holds me up. I don't fail my Lord and do a dance over it and say it's not important and dismiss it. I come up, I go back to my war room and I come up with a strategy to face this thing again and again and again. That is a distinction between the believer and the non-believer. The non-believer can shrug his shoulders and say, oh, well, it'll work out. The believer says, if it works out, it's because the mighty hand of God is upon me. It is his doing. Joseph Bow abode in strength, held by the mighty hand of God. That is the lesson throughout the Bible. It is not an encouragement to be weak. It is an encouragement to be strong in your weakness. Should I tell you, no, be weak, fall apart, lie on the ground, you're done. That would be a lie. And I know what Satan does to human beings because I'm one of the human beings. And I also know how to fight back. And I don't have to win, I just have to fight back. Verse 9, he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You see, he puts Christ on the same level. He puts the Son on the same level as the Father. You can't do this with anyone else. You know, the easiest way to refute the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormon heresies is take the words of Jesus Christ from the gospel and put them in anybody else's mouth, and what do you have? Blasphemy. Nobody can say that, what Jesus said. No angel, no created being can say the things Jesus Christ said about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. That's just a basic one. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Say that. If you believe in Rick, you shall not perish. It's laughable. Not that funny. It is. It is insane. And just read the gospel. We'll be coming to Mark's gospel. I'm so looking forward to the gospel. A church needs to go back to the gospel, move forward some. Go back to the gospel, move forward some. And then we're going to hit the book of Acts. And maybe by then, the Revelation. I say that because I'm thinking on my end how much work it is. All right, well, back to verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whoever leaves the ship of Christ will sink. That's the basic way of just interpreting that verse. That's what it means. Leave Christ and you're done. And you'll have no one to blame but yourself. No one can force you away from Christ. If you choose to follow some false faith, then you choose to not abide in Christ. John's not fooling around. Neither should we. It's one thing to be weak. It's another thing to be a heretic. Being a heretic and apostate is not about weakness. It's about a choice. And so don't let man's doctrines undo what you know. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't be able to sit under the word of God. They don't want to hear its convictions, its truths, its challenges. But according to their own desire, that's idolatry, because they have ears that want to be tingled. They will heap up, they will pile up, they will mount up teachers for themselves. They'll just go shop for a teacher who's preaching what they want to hear. He says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both Father and the Son. There's the assurance. A beautiful verse for any believer who struggles in the flesh. The doctrine, the teaching of Christ, what Christ taught, that began in Genesis 1:1 and all the way through. Romans 10, listen to this in context of Gnosticism, because I'm going to read Romans 10, 9 and 10, which the Gnostics disagreed with and tried to chip away in the lives of believers. When John was preaching and Peter was preaching, Paul's letters were circulating. They had reached churches. People had these things. The Old Testament they had. And we'll see in just in this section too how, well, let me just get to it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The part where he says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's what the Gnostics refused to believe. God would never allow such a thing to happen. He did. And he backs it up. And the prophecy is one of the greatest points that God kept saying. And Isaiah 53 just lays it right out for us all. Not to mention Psalm 22. There are other places. Those are two of the big ones. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You're not trying to trick God. I'm not trying to get something at the cost of someone else. Gnostics disagree with all that. I keep saying that because it's up to us to do the math or to connect the dots from the first, second, third century Gnosticism to this present day. All through history, you find people like these people, deceivers, who are not satisfied with Christians believing Christ. And whether they bring in an idolatry from some other religion and mix it into Christianity, or some other just made-up junk, they're doing the same thing. They're denying the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and they're bringing in their doctrines. And it's not tricky. If you are committed to the Scripture, it is not hard to unmask these people. I know that's the word of the day, thinking of General Flynn being unmasked. If anyone, and I'm not even sure what that means in that context, but if anyone comes to you and does not, verse 10, bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Well, if you don't have this doctrine by default, you do inestimable damage. Inestimable damage you do by subverting the truth, the damage against the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. So those contrary to Christ are false teachers, is what our Bible says, what we believe, what we hold to. They don't have to like it. They can think it's mean and cruel. They can call us bigots. They can call us anything they want. They can even call us late for dinner. Go eat elsewhere. You know the saying, you can call me anything but late for dinner. Ha ha. Truth always comes down to doctrine. It has to be something that makes sense, that is tied to proof, to reason, and not without it. Job's theology, that was the battleground. Was Job going to believe in his experience, or was he going to believe in truth concerning God? And his friends tried to get him off of that. Job, you've done something wrong, admit it. And Job was like, I've not done anything more wrong than you. In fact, you've probably done things worse than me. In fact, I know people who've done worse than me, and they don't look like me. The proof was everywhere. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. I mean, he struggled. He was in pain, suffering of so many things, inside and outside. And he just, I don't know what all that's going on, but I know this. My Redeemer lives. And I'll see him with my eyes. And so you either hold to the historic doctrines, that the biblical doctrines of Christ, or you don't. You either go with doctrine or experience, doctrine or what's feasible. And there is a sin leading to death. When Jesus said, listen to this. We read this last session. Whoever does not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the very dust off your feet. And listen, here it comes as a testimony against them. In other words, you knock the dust off, so God's not playing.
Thanks for listening to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you're interested in more information about this ministry, you can visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find more of Pastor Rick's teachings available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. By doing so, you'll become aware of each new edition of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning more from this series, Truth, Love, and Testimony, here on Cross Reference Radio.